point. Take the 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 point.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the inaugural podcast for Take the Points 2014. I am Tom Zalesnok. I'm here with Dan Partridge live via Skype from Arizona. And hello, Dan.
Hey, Z. Welcome back.
Yes. So anyone who tuned in last year, we welcome you back. Anyone who's finding this for the first time, welcome. What we are is a college football podcast. We like to break down last week what happened. Obviously, that doesn't apply to now since it's our season preview, but yes. We break down what happened the week before. We talk about themes and storylines, and then we pick games against the spread. Now, because I have a new job, you know, working for the public good, I can no longer officially condone sports gambling. So my picks will be for entertainment purposes only. Dan, you're an adult. You can condone gambling if you choose.
Yes, and I will.
So we pick games against the spread, which I think makes us a little bit different from other podcasts.
Yes.
And we've got gambling expert Dan. I'm I don't know if I'm such a gambling expert, but I've been watching college football for 33 years.
It's true.
Since the womb.
Yeah.
And why don't we start, Dan, by discussing what's big this year, which is the new playoff system.
Yeah, sure. After years of angry people on TV and angry fans and screw jobs and mistakes and all that other fun stuff, they finally put a playoff in there, and I think...
And that's going to solve all of the problems.
Well, no.
No one will ever complain again.
Well, yes and no. Of course, people will complain, being the fifth team now, they'll say blah, 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 blah. But, look, overall, this is a big step forward, and, you know, I'm very happy that they went to four teams instead of eight to make all the regular season games still extremely important. If it was eight or 16 teams, you could lose maybe two games and get in. That's not what college football is about. College is about playing a 12-game schedule, having, you know, a handful of cupcakes and a handful of super hard games, and then playing the rest. I'm really excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really happy that they made this change. I'm looking forward to it being here in Arizona next year for the final, so maybe we can head our way over there and watch that. But love college football. Very smart. I mean, every year, not every year, but I mean, it's improved over time. When me and you were kids, it was just the AP poll and the coaches poll voting. So you had all kinds of weird results. You had, you know, there was that one year where the coaches and AP poll split. Michigan took the one title. Yep. There was that nonsense. So this is a big upgrade overall. Very happy. Looking forward to it. Everyone needs to shut their mouth and let it play out.
So, yeah, I think it's important to remember, first off, what we had before the BCS. We had the infamous year with Nebraska and Penn State, both undefeated and didn't get to play each other in the bowl game. Penn yep. State, I think, played Oregon, and Nebraska played like 13th-ranked Miami or something like
yes.
that.
Miami with and, two losses.
Yeah, and Penn State played like, I think, an 8th or 9th-ranked Oregon. So that was a really disappointing finish to what could have been an amazing college football season. So we implemented the BCS because of that. The BCS, I'll always defend that it worked out most years, but then there were some infamous blunders as well. The year that Auburn went undefeated and got shut out. The year of the split titles with USC, Oklahoma, and then
Michigan.
What am I thinking? Oh, LSU and USC, I think, split.
Yeah.
So that was screwed up. The Ohio State-Michigan year when they played the last game of the season and then probably should have played again but didn't. So I think this is a step in the right direction. I'm about 98% positive on the 14 playoff for all the reasons we just said. I think this will determine a true champion. My only 2% hesitancy is that basically what you said, maybe a two-loss team that didn't totally show up for the regular season could end up winning a championship. Like if Alabama decides to take 2 weeks off but still makes it in at number four,
right.
Then they decide to play. They're obviously going to crush, you know, undefeated Louisville or whoever.
Yeah, exactly. So, Utah State.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. So we have a lot of football to discuss and a few lines to go over for week one. But first, Dan, you wanted to talk about a off-season full of gambling maneuvers. This is what happens, yeah, by the way, people, when football's not on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, here at Take the Points, we are a college football first gambling website, podcast, Twitter, all that fun stuff. However, during an off-season, there are times where it becomes necessary to push the limits of sports betting. I just want to go over a couple highlights, personal, and some also some I don't know, horrible things that happened as well. Okay, first of all, NFL playoffs. I convince one of my close friends around here to go with me up to Vegas to bet. I also convince my head manager, Steve. So I'm like, come on, we'll go up there and make some money. The Colts are easy money against Kansas City. No problem at all. Andrew Luck, so good. Andy Reid's the worst coach I've ever seen. Blah, 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 blah. We go up there. We get the hotel room booked. We get in the sports book. We're having some cocktails, having some laughs. Ha, ha, ha. Touchdown, Kansas City, nothing. Fast forward, second half, 38-10, Kansas City. And we're laying a point and a half with Indy. Or no, actually, I think we got in a pick. 38-10, third quarter. My head manager's looking at me like I'm about to get fired or at least transferred to a bad spot. Colts go on a hot run, win the game, I think, what, 44-41 or something. One of the best comebacks in NFL history and a nice money swing because when you're down 38-10 in the third quarter laying points, you've already taken that money and it's gone. So when you actually get to turn in that bet, it makes you very happy. So that was good. That was the sports betting highlight. I want to jump off the roof because I went to school at UConn, and you get UConn Huskies at 100-1 to win a national title. I was in Vegas right before the tournament started and said, ha ha ha, I should put some money on UConn. Yeah, well, I forgot to, and they won the national title at 100-1. I couldn't have put $20 on it for $2,000. No, couldn't do that. No, missed out on that. Moving forward. World Cup soccer, I bet a lot of games. Here's one thing you should know about me, my heritage. I am German. Last World Cup, I bet Germany to win the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. They didn't win it. This year I go, well, Germany's not as good as they've been. Like I'm some fucking soccer expert.
We should note that you don't watch soccer other than the World Cup.
I watch soccer because I play FIFA on PlayStation. That's the only thing that whatever. So I bet Brazil to win, I bet Argentina to win, future bets, but I don't bet Germany, and they win it. Drives me nuts. But I did do okay overall in World Cup. I will stick up for myself in that. I hit some good ones in that. Okay, PGA Tour. Rory McIlroy, I'd like to thank you for making me money this and the end of the summer. I've never bet golf in my life, and people are like, Rory can't lose, so I started betting him that in the one tournament he won, and then I did two more weeks in a row, so Rory made me some money. There's also a wager on Australian Open tennis at some point. I really don't want to get into that. I don't know who I bet. I just followed a tip I read online. And to wrap up the sports betting of the summer, I will tell you that you can wager on the presidential election in 2016. Now, this is what I find very, very interesting. These guys who put sports betting lines up all sit in a room or whatever with their computers, and they look at numbers to, you know, calculate a fair price. And they have Hillary Clinton as a minus 145 favorite to become the next president. Now, I want to explain something to the sports betting community out there. If you see Vegas put a number out there, minus 145, that means that it's coming in. I'll tell you that much. So they're saying that there's a better chance of Hillary becoming president than not becoming president. So you don't need to watch CNN, MSNBC. Just go on a sportsbook webpage and look at the odds to become president. That's all you need to know because those guys aren't going to lose money on this. So I'd like to congratulate Hillary Rodham Clinton on being the 2016 president. If I didn't bet sports, I wouldn't know that in August of 2014, but that's a bonus of our life, I guess.
Now, that's where I will come in and add that I remember in the last election, it was Obama versus Romney. They had the one debate where Romney, you know, did very well. Obama didn't do so well. And all of a sudden, everybody on the news channels was saying, like, oh, Romney's coming from behind. He's going to take this. So I signed on to Sportsbook to take a look. And I think Obama was still around like a 125, a minus 125. I'm like, well, guess that debate didn't help too much.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, so remember that next time you're watching, you know, CNBC or Fox News or whatever, when they're trying to make the election into some great struggle between two equal opponents, you can just sign on Sportsbook. You can see exactly what – and the thing about it is, you know, when Alabama plays West Virginia – we're pretty sure Alabama's going to kick their ass, but you never know what could happen. But with the presidential election, you know, they have polls from each state.
Yeah, they do.
They have, you know, have phone call information. They're not just making these numbers up. So when you see Hillary 145,
she's winning.
There's no debate right now. Now, a lot of stuff could happen between now and then.
Change. But right now, she's a stone cold lock.
But anyone who tells you, yes, anyone who tells you right now that it's a tight race or that Chris Christie is going to take it.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
No, he's at a plus still. So
a very high plus. I believe, I'm not lying, I think I saw him at like plus, like it was like 12 or 15 to 1. So,
wouldn't it be funny if Chris Christie like signed on Sportsbook and was like, damn it.
Still at
plus 250.
Honestly, that's what all of them should do. I mean,
I wouldn't hire pollsters. I would just go on Sportsbook.
It takes 2 minutes. And for anyone out there who likes politics, which I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
Don't watch any of this crap in the next year. You're going to burn hours, days of your life. Just go on Sportsbook, check the odds, spend the rest of the time watching the SEC Network on ESPN, and you'll be way better off for it.
Well, that is our political statement for the year.
Yep, and we're done. That's it.
That will probably be it. All right, Dan. I see no reason to waste any more time. Let's get into our season preview.
Yeah.
So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to do a season preview of the power conferences, sort of. Okay. I'll tell people.
So power conference, AAC, Big East, Hawaii, whatever they play in.
Yeah, Conference Canada. USA. This is our power conferences. We don't go by the same as college football.
No.
SEC and Pac-12 did not make it.
No, they're out. They're
so
no good this year.
So it's all AAC for the next 2 hours.
Quick timeout. Have you seen the photo of the new UConn quarterback who has a mullet and a mustache?
Casey Cochran. Oh, yes, I have.
Okay, just want to make sure that needs to be on our page. Keep going. Didn't mean to interrupt.
So let me suggest something for this year's Take the Points podcast. I feel it would help us gain more of a following and be more liked if maybe we latched on to a few teams and just decided we're going to talk about these specific teams every week. Sure. I think UConn is an obvious choice since you went there and I live in Glastonbury, Connecticut, right by campus.
Unfortunately, yes, we will talk about them.
I thought Arizona State might make a good one if
Sounds
you're
good.
Interested.
Yes.
I thought Penn State would be a good one since we both grew up as fans.
Again, unfortunately, yes.
I thought Syracuse will always be a fun one since we grew up there.
That makes three.
So any other teams that you follow week to week that you would like to add?
Yeah, Oregon, Alabama, and Art Briles and his badass Bears of Baylor.
Okay, so if you're listening and you like one of those teams, we're going to cover them quite frequently. We'll try to spread around the love from week to week and talk about all other teams as well, but those will be the ones we hit on the most. So what I would like to do for our season preview is start off in the ACC. That's not the AAC, the awful athletic conference, but the good ACC. I have written down notes, and what I'm going to do is on the new Take the Points website, which is takethepoints.net, I am going to post all of my notes for each of the power conferences. I've got about a paragraph on each team and then a paragraph on each team's schedule because I believe that the schedule is just as important as the team in college football. But I'll try to give you sort of the cliff note version today. For example, the ACC starts with Boston College, and we do not need to review Boston College.
No, never.
So I'm going to get to the teams that I think have a legitimate shot or even semi-shot. Feel free to jump in if you hear anything you like or anything you disagree with. Yep. So the ACC, let's start with Florida State, of course. I would like to start by saying that repeating as a champ is nearly impossible. Alabama's done it, USC's done it, but not too many others have. This team lost a lot on defense. I believe they lost five starters. They lost Kelvin Benjamin, who is a great receiver who caught the winning touchdown in the championship game. They lost Devontae Freeman, who, as we all know, is on Hard Knocks right now.
Very funny, by the way. Very funny guy.
Yeah, he's good. They lost, so they lost James Wilder. And, I mean, on defense, Jernigan, Joyner, Brooks.
Bunch.
This is not the same team that won it all last year. They're still very, very good and definitely the number one team in the country. But to just assume that they're going to roll through everyone, I think we need to see them play first. Their schedule, last year their schedule was a joke. This year...
Complete joke.
Yeah. This year, it's actually pretty solid. Their only real cupcake is week two against Citadel. I wrote down, although Wake Forest might qualify as a cupcake at this point. They open the season against a rebuilding Oklahoma State. But still, Oklahoma State, they're good. Notre Dame comes to Tallahassee in October. They play Clemson, which barely counts as a rivalry anymore. And they play at NC State, at Louisville, and at Miami, and Florida, who has to be better than last year. You know, logic would say that they have to take a step backwards. They can't be as good as last year, but what do you think?
Here's all you need to know about Florida State this year. Here's the magic number, 14.5. That's the lowest spread they have for any game the entire year. In Vegas in June every year, they come out with lines ahead of time for every college football game. So the lowest spread for Florida State's 14.5. That means that they are an overwhelming favorite to run the table. I think they're going to lose one game in the regular season and end up in the Final Four, very much like how Alabama it was what happened to them, what, 2-3 years ago, same thing. Lose a random regular season game, run the table, and they'll be there in the national title game again this year.
I agree completely. I think they'll lose one game in the regular season. I'm looking at maybe one of those road games, NC State, Louisville, Miami.
NC State, that's the one. That's the one. NC State is not good, but they put guys in the NFL, and they're good for one home upset a year. They got Florida State 2 years ago with EJ Manuel. It's a weird place to play in Charlotte, and they always do a really good job, that home crowd, so... Be on the upset alert. Watch that NC State game. It's always, I mean, hell, even when me and you were kids, I remember Florida State losing as an undefeated team on Thursday night at NC State. I believe the running back was...
Warwick Dunn?
Warwick Dunn. He got stuffed on
right
at the goal line.
A draw from, I think, like the 4-yard line, got stuffed on the goal line. I remember it well.
NC State, they're in trouble. So yeah, be on the lookout for that, but... They're still a loaded team. Jimbo Fisher's done a ridiculous job with recruiting. He's had a top 3 class every year he's been there. They're loaded. Winston's the truth. They got talent all over the board. They're exactly like Alabama. He's modeled his team right after Alabama, where player leaves, next guy comes in, he's more than ready. So look for not much of a fall off, especially with the quarterback being the same. That's the key to them, and they're going to be great this year.
I actually saw an interview between Kirk Herbstreit and Jameis Winston this morning on ESPN. And Jameis Winston, I remember when Cam Newton got caught in his scam, and he was the most unapologetic person I've ever seen. He's just, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I've never heard such a thing.
Winston makes him look very contrite. Jameis Winston's just like, I did some things. I've apologized for them. Ain't nothing else I can do.
So good. I love it. It's great. Good for him.
Yeah. So I actually haven't thought about what I think is going to happen in the playoff, just about who I think will make the playoff. And I do have a one-loss Florida State getting into that playoff.
Yep.
Let me go on. Let me stick in the Atlantic Conference and just try to go through the rest of the teams quickly. Boston College, you can forget about them. Clemson, they've lost so much. I do like Cole Stout, their new quarterback. He played a little bit in relief of Taj Boyd, and I think he's pretty solid. good pocket passer. They always have a decent running back, but they've lost all the receivers. They just lost their starting running back. I think the guy who backs him up is pretty good and should be okay. And they have some studs on the defense, although they seem to have more talent on defense than how they perform as a unit each year. You know, they send a few guys to the NFL, but they still give up 30 a game.
They always give up a lot of points. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Clemson this year is they just lost too much. They lost Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins, Martavis Bryant. But like the other big programs, they are very good at recruiting. And they'll have a high explosive offense, but look for them to be, 8-4, 7-5 type team and play on a bowl game on December 27th. And it'll be really fun. So, you know, it's a rebuilding year, and everyone knows that in Clemson. So just have fun with them. Don't worry. They'll be back.
So I agree, in short. I think we'll find out a lot about them in the first 3 weeks when they play at Georgia and then 2 weeks later at FSU. That'll tell us all we need to know. Louisville. Louisville, again, logic says they'll take a step back. Dan's giving the thumbs down. What do you think about Petrino coming back? Nope.
No. I mean, there's no point for him to come back. It's a total waste. And
I think he's a good coach. I think the reason he got fired from Arkansas has nothing to do with football.
Well, of course not. Yeah, but there was an article out a week ago about how he's already having problems with the AD at Louisville. It's the same circus. I mean, it was a nice story with, you know, Charlie Strong. They overachieved, and they've had some good teams in the past. But we really got to get Petrino back here. Just get rid of him. I mean, poor Louisville. First Chaz Strong goes, then Teddy Bridgewater bails, and they get Petrino down there. He's probably going out with a 22-year-old. It's great. It's just hilarious.
Okay, moving along, NC State. I wrote a long paragraph on NC State, but this is the only sentence I'll read. They have the highest team GPA that they've ever had, which means they'll probably suck on the field.
Correct. Moving right on.
Okay. I should know NC State has about the easiest schedule you can get in conference, so they might end up okay. Syracuse, Dan, one of our prime teams. Average schedule, they play Villanova. I think that's actually just Villanova basketball plays them in football.
Kyle Lowry.
What's his name?
Kerry Kittles.
Kerry Kittles will be there. Big game against Notre Dame in September. I know my Uncle Nick's really excited about that. They get all the tough teams at home, except for Clemson. They'll be average.
Here's one thing on Syracuse that I found humorous. In their recent recruiting class, they had all horrible standard players coming in. But they had one player who was a four-star recruit, their only four-star recruit. They had all three-star and lower. They had one four-star recruit coming in, wide receiver, real excited. Academically ineligible, he's now a JUCO, transferred out. So there you go, Syracuse, same old, same old. He got one good recruit and he's gone already. Have fun winning four games this year. It's going to be a blast. Moving on.
Speaking of winning four games, Wake Forest.
Three games. Next.
So they have four automatic losses on their schedule, which is Florida State, Clemson, Louisville, and Va-Tech. They have only one what I would call automatic win versus Gardner-Webb, which I think is one of those things. I'm not sure if it's a college or just some dude.
It's a person. It's arm wrestling.
They will probably be underdogs in 11 of 12 games, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won 1 to 2 games. So I don't even know who their coach is, but he might want to update his LinkedIn profile.
We can go ahead and just skip the AAC after we get by Syracuse, because it's about Florida State winning it and Syracuse winning four games. Outside of that, we're not going to be betting anything else, really, in the ACC.
Right. Again, go to takethepoints.net if you want to read my extended previews on these teams. But in terms of the ACC Coastal, I think Duke will take a little bit of a step back. I think this is a toss-up. Duke, Miami, Va-Tech, UNC, and Pitt, I think all have a shot. I don't like Georgia Tech for reasons we'll explore later in the season. Or we can explore it now. It's that they can't pass.
Never. They never can pass. Every game, you look, there was a game last year where I bet against them. Their quarterback threw three passes.
Even when they beat Syracuse 56-0, and that was the game, they had three passing attempts. Yeah. So even when they do great, they still can't pass. And then Virginia has no shot.
No, they're bad.
So do you have a pick for the Coastal?
No, I really that conference is really, really horrible. It's bad. I mean, if Florida State was in the SEC, which I think they should be, that would be on par with, like, oh, almost like the AAC. Like, it's honestly not that far off. It's really bad. It's a really bad conference this year.
So the trendy coastal pick has been North Carolina from what I've seen. What I'm going to say is every once in a while Frank Beamer goes 8-4 and somehow manages to win his division. And I think we're looking at one of those years where Va-Tech edges out UNC. They're both ranked 8-4, and Va-Tech gets the head-to-head win. And then overall in the ACC, it's Florida State's to lose. So we can move on. Ooh, sorry, my document's freezing up. Dan, I'm going to give you the choice. SEC or Big 12?
SEC.
All right, let's get right to it. So the SEC East, this is the inferior of the two divisions, but still one of the best divisions in all of football. Florida, I'm going to toss it to you. I still don't believe in this Florida team. I think Will Muschamp is a mediocre.
Pick.
Yeah, I wrote he's on the hot seat, Dan. The hot seat.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I apologize for the hit comment. I just thought that's where you were going with that.
No, no. But we're from upstate New York, so we can call people hicks.
He is a hick.
Yeah.
So here's the deal with Florida. A couple things going on. One, the Aaron Hernandez curse is still very real.
And can you remind people what the curse is and what they need to do to defeat it?
The Aaron Hernandez curse is anyone involved with Aaron Hernandez and the Florida Gators back when he was on the team. Look, it's everybody. It's been bad. I got
Tebow.
Two offensive. Okay, no, don't worry. I'm saving him for last. Don't worry. We got the two offensive linemen who both been in trouble. Percy Harvin's been hurt. Riley Cooper's been saying some questionable comments at a country concert. We'll say that. Tim Tebow is considering playing Canadian football. They've had all kinds of arrests with the other players, defensive players. They're just a total wreck. So basically the Florida Gators and anyone who's a tie to that program's cursed, i.e. Charlie Weiss in Kansas winning zero games or whatever.
How about Urban Meyer?
Urban Meyer losing his quarterback for the year and losing to Michigan State last year, the ultimate FU. That's probably the hardest way to go down. The New England Patriots not winning a Super Bowl since Spygate. There's so many things at this point where if you really think the Patriots are winning the Super Bowl or the Gators are going to make a national title, you're totally crazy. So, but I will say Florida had a ton of injuries last year on a super talented team. They still only gave up, I think, the fourth or fifth, they had a really good defense, only allowing the fourth or fifth least amount of points of any team. They'll get some players back. They'll be improved. I think you'll see them hover around 7 to 8 wins. I think they'll be better, but the curse is still real. If everything falls perfectly from Florida, I think they're playing in a bowl game on New Year's Eve.
Let me add that their schedule is absolutely brutal. They've got Bama. Then they have, starting with Bama on September 20th, they have tough opponents pretty much week after week, almost no reprieve. They'll play, in my opinion, the top two teams in the country, three other teams in the country that will finish top 10 or very close,
yeah,
and one other team that should end the season ranked.
So that's the problem. They might only win.
So they're playing, in my opinion right now, 5 of the 10 best teams in the country throughout the year. So I think they'll be improved, but I don't think their record will greatly reflect it. I'm thinking about a 7-win season.
That's fair.
Georgia. Georgia's been a lot of people's pick to surprise people, win a championship, maybe sneak into a playoff, maybe win the SEC. They've got a QB named Hudson Mason. Now, Dan, new listeners of the show might not be familiar with the quarterback name theory that you sound like you belong in a yacht club, the better you will be at quarterback.
Tom Brady.
Tom
Peyton Manning.
Robert Griffin III.
Aaron Rodgers. Robert Griffin III.
This is a college theorem.
Sounds like a
Dan.
Real asshole.
Yeah.
Some guy named Robert Griffin III sounds like a real asshole.
Let me say that the yacht club theory does not extend to the NFL. It's only for college. That's okay. Why you have guys like Kane Coulter doing well in Northwestern.
Kane Coulter, yeah.
And
Christian Hackenberg.
Yes, Christian Hackenberg should have a great season. We'll remember the great Colton Browning of ULM.
That's right.
there's
how much that's an excellent ULM reference. Listeners will know how much I love my Louisiana schools, all three.
Oh yes. So let me talk about Georgia then. Semi-favorable schedule as SEC schedules go. Keep in mind when I talk about schedules in the SEC that everything is relative to the SEC. They're still going to be harder than any schedule in the Big Ten. South Carolina on the road is tough, and to me, the East is going to come down to South Carolina versus Georgia. So that Week 3 game could be one of the most important. Georgia does draw Auburn from the West, which is tough, but they get them at home. I think Georgia's set up nicely for a top 10 finish. Possible playoff run, but I think they're going to fall a little outside of it.
I am not seeing eye to eye with you on this one. I don't like Mark Richt. I think he's a shitty coach.
Let me jump in. I think Georgia's one of the most talented teams in the country and should be playoff team. And the reason I have them finishing the season ranked, you know, 9th or 10th is because of Mark Richt.
Yeah.
I want to quote my friend Carl. Mark Richt runs his program the right way. That's why he'll never win a championship.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. Mark Richt's not a great coach. They lost Aaron Murray. They just had a lot of injuries the last couple of years. I don't know if that's a fluke coincidence or it's something that they're doing wrong there at Georgia in the training. They have a ton of injuries all the time. I don't believe in this Georgia team. I think they're going to finish about 20 to 25th on the year final ranking.
Okay, moving along. Kentucky, moving right along. Missouri, do you believe in Missouri, or you think last year they overachieved and this year they'll fall back?
Fluke, as always with Missouri. Missouri seems to be a team where if they're not ranked, they finish the year pretty good, and when they are high, they fall back. I don't think they're that good. I don't think they're a true SEC team. I don't think they can match up with the big boys. I think they'll finish somewhere around 18th this year overall.
Okay, so unless you believe that Tennessee is primed for a breakthrough year, that really leaves South Carolina as the team in the East. Now, I have actually picked South Carolina to win the East and play in the SEC championship game. I think they're just going to edge out Georgia. I think Mike Davis is a very good running back that doesn't get as much credit as he's due. Dylan Thompson is serviceable as QB. And I think their defense has been good the last several years. You can lose a guy like Clowney. You can lose guys like Stephon Gilmore, and they seem to be good every year. So I believe in South Carolina, and I've got them in the top 10 and in the SEC championship game.
It seems with South Carolina, it doesn't matter who plays quarterback, who plays on the team. Every year they finish the season ranked 9th. And I'd like to thank the pollsters this year for getting the preseason poll finally correct and putting South Carolina 9th. Because that's where they are. They never go higher than 6th. They never go lower than 16th. And they always finish 9th. And that's what they're going to do again. They're just a really solid team. One thing I would also like to mention, you glazed over University of Tennessee.
Well, we still have Tennessee and Vandy from the East. Okay. But
Real quick, on one point on Tennessee I want to make. They're going to be very bad. They lost all offensive and defensive line starters. Not one starter's back on either line.
Yes.
That's a big problem. And they're going to lose week one to Utah State, which we'll talk about next week. I love that game. Love it.
Let me add, I was looking at schedules. Tennessee's extremely, extremely tough. It's funny you mentioned that. This is exactly what I wrote. Watch out week one against Utah State. And I'm with you. I think that I'm blanking on the quarterback's name from Utah State, but I think he's going to cause some problems for Tennessee. And then September 13th at Oklahoma, September 27th at Georgia.
Wow, and Oklahoma is not good for out of conference game for SEC. That's crazy.
They draw Bama from the West, which is never what you want.
No.
They are at South Carolina. They play Missouri in November. That's at home, but still. I wrote, with some luck, and if they play very well, they might end up bowl eligible. But BUT, if they don't play well, they have a chance to lose all but one game.
that they might honestly get worked. And I think that's where the Utah State game week one plays in. People go, oh, Utah State will never beat the University of Tennessee. Yeah, but when we look back in November and Utah State's either 12-1 or 13-0 and Tennessee's 3-9, you'll go, blah, blah, blah. So that's correct, yeah. I like South Carolina on that side a lot. I think the rest of the teams all have big problems.
Okay, Vanderbilt, we can skip them.
Yeah, they're down this year.
So are we in agreement on South Carolina?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, moving along to the West. So the SEC West, I think everybody knows Alabama. Many of these teams are similar to last year. Auburn has most of the same players. They should have the same scheme. They should be very similar to last year. LSU is going to rely heavily on their new freshman running back and quarterback. Ole Miss will be similar. Mississippi State will be similar. Texas A&M, I think, is the biggest question mark in this division. Arkansas, who knows? I think they're a year or two away from being anything. But, Dan, instead of breaking these teams down, why don't you just tell us what you think for the SEC West?
Sure. First of all, to talk about some of the, you know, I don't know, like teams like Ole Miss. Ole Miss, I think, would be, if they were in the ACC, they'd be the number two team in the whole ACC. They got a lot of talent. They've recruited really well. They're an up-and-coming team. Can you believe LSU, Auburn, and Alabama are on the both side of a section of a conference? That is just unbelievable.
And Texas A&M, who is no slouch. I would say this. So Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, those are the I guess what you would call the bottom half of that division.
Yeah.
If you put them in the AAC, the Awful Athletic Conference, they would be 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, it's so easy, you know. And like I said, Ole Miss would be great. So I'm going to keep an eye out for Ole Miss when they play non-SEC teams, see if we can take advantage of a good spot there. Also, we'll be able to take advantage at the end of the year, the bowl season.
So I went boring in this. I've got it coming down to Alabama and LSU, who I think is going to start off the season a little rough with a freshman quarterback, but progress and get better throughout the year. I think Auburn takes a step back just because they had so many close wins last year. I think it's got to balance out a little bit. And I think Texas A&M, it's sort of a rebuilding year, although they'll still probably get to 8 wins. Mississippi teams, I'll never believe in a Mississippi team to win that division until it happens.
Right.
They can play spoiler, but I don't see them seriously competing.
Right. I have a little bit of a different opinion with this. I think Auburn's going to win the national title.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think Nick Marshall's winning the Heisman. I think they're winning the national title this year. I think he's Cam Newton. And I think from what I've read, he's had an unbelievable camp. Off season, they say he's improved everywhere. He's got even better. They're going to put up points all over the board on everyone. Alabama could not stop them. Florida State could not stop them. Those are the two best defenses in the country. I don't need to look at any fucking numbers or anything like that. They all go to the NFL. Nick Marshall's unstoppable. Gus Malzahn's the truth. He was the truth when he was the offensive coordinator there. He was the truth when he was the coach at Arkansas State. They're the real deal. Alabama will also make the 14 playoff with Auburn. LSU is going to lose 3 or 4 games this year and be like the 5th best team in the whole country, which is totally ridiculous. And I'm really excited to watch that freshman running back they have. I've watched some of his tape. It's going to be great. But Auburn, national title, I just hit you with that. Sorry.
Dan, that is, I would call that a shocking revelation.
Nick Marshall, going to win the Heisman.
Very, very good.
Mark it down.
I like it. All right. I'm not saying that Auburn's bad. I'm just saying they have an extremely, extremely tough schedule. One of the toughest in the country.
And a guy who has an Alabama logo on his keychain, University of Alabama, and I picked Auburn. So there you go. Listen to that shit.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get into a couple games at the end of this, but you know, they have no slouch for an opening few weeks. I mean, Arkansas isn't great, but that's a pretty good opener.
They're going to light some people up this year.
Okay, so you have two SEC teams in the playoff then.
Two, yes.
So I have one. I just think because of the politics, I don't think, especially for the opening year, unless there's a clear distinction between the SEC and, you know, the rest of, I would say other teams have to lose twice in order for an SEC team to get in there, just because of politics. Obviously, I think whoever, you know, the top couple teams in the SEC West will probably be among the four best teams in the country.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, interesting. Let's move along to the Big 12. We're going to start going a little quicker on these conferences. Dan, really, I'm just going to pose a question to you. I think this conference has a lot of teams that are pretty good, including, you know, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, who I think will surprise some people this year, TCU, yep. Texas. But I think hopefully we're in agreement that this is going to come down once again to OU versus Baylor.
Yes, it will.
So give me your take.
I think Oklahoma's overvalued this year. They played against an Alabama team with zero motivation in a bowl game last year. Well, Oklahoma had tons of reasons to win that game. I think they're overrated. I think Stoops chokes in big spots. I think they'll blow at least one game this year, if not more. I don't think any team from the Big 12 will be ranked inside the top 8 to finish the year.
So no playoff contender then?
No.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I don't know. I think people sort of forget that although Trevor Knight looked great against Alabama, he also played most of last season and was pretty
sucked.
Mediocre.
Yeah.
I remember he was...
Didn't care.
Yeah, I know he was... I know there was an injury involved, but he was basically outplayed by Blake the Belldozer Bell, who isn't even a quarterback anymore.
No, he's not.
So I have Baylor winning this, but...
me too.
You know, I've been hesitant to put them in the playoff. We're going to have to come back to that one. Because I have some real questions about the playoff, especially related to the Pac-12, which we'll get into next.
Okay.
But here's what I wrote about the Big 12. The teams to watch are Baylor and West Virginia. Baylor on the positive side because...
Good. Okay, I'm just making sure. Go.
Okay. Oh, no. Let me explain this. Don't you worry. So Oklahoma, everybody knows, is going to be good. They're always good. Maybe a little overrated at number four, but Baylor, they've had quite a stretch under Art Briles. They bring back Bryce Petty. They bring back a lot of their weapons. They have a good defense now, whereas they maybe didn't a few years ago. I think they're legitimate. You obviously think they're legitimate.
I think they're great. They have a new stadium opening up this year, too, keep in mind, which sounds like a good thing. Whenever in sports teams open up a new stadium, they always have a weird season. And I'm not saying Baylor is. I think they're going to win 10 games, but I think they're going to lose 2 games in the regular season somehow. And it kills me to say it because they'll be favored in every game or just about. They're going to score a ton of points. They're going to light up people, you know, 56-0 at half from time to time. I think they'll lose a couple of games. I don't think this is the most talented Baylor team they've had, according to me. Now, the experts say otherwise. They say this is the best wide receiver class and also a defensive line class, which is crazy to me to think that Baylor has the best defensive line in the country. But that's what I heard and what I read. But like I said, I don't think you're going to get any playoff teams from the Big 12. Baylor's going to be a lot of fun. I love Art Briles. He's my favorite coach in all of football. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch them. Oh, I'd also like to say I'd like to give some props to Gary Patterson and TCU. But I don't like TCU, but they did finally make a change that was really necessary. They got a new offensive coordinator. It was the old offensive coordinator from Oklahoma State, part of that, you know, mm-hmm. Mike Leach, you know, Briles, Holgorsen, running gun style. I'm really glad to see that they've done that. You know, defense has never been a problem at TCU. It's been scoring enough points. And to win in that conference now that they've moved out, you know, from their little conference to a big one, they need to score more points. So good for TCU. Look out for good things for them coming up in the next couple of years. They'll be back to being a top 10-12 team coming up here in the next few years for sure.
Okay, so as I said, I'm a little torn on Baylor. I've got them around 10-2, playing in a This is a question for you. What do we call the BCS, former BCS bowls that are not in the playoff?
I don't know. I don't know how that works yet.
I'm just going to call them the BCS bowls for now until we figure it out. I've got Baylor playing a 10-2 Baylor playing a 9-3 like Louisville or Clemson in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Or, you know, it'd be great would be like them playing against a Pac-12 team like UCLA or Arizona State. It'd be a lot of fun.
That would be great. So
put it out during the Fiesta Bowl again. Do that. Do it again.
Question for you: do you believe that the playoff system has an effect on the rest of the bowl games? That they'll become less necessary, less watched, less important to people?
No, not at all. Because there's all kinds of, you know, there's money involved. There's gambling pools. There's a game on every night that you can bet on. It's going to be the same old shit, but just a little bit better. I can't wait. At least for me, it's going to be even better. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, the one note, I had said West Virginia is a team to watch. They need to get it together this year and establish that they belong in this conference. And if they don't do it, first off, I think Holgorsen's on the hottest of hot seats.
Yeah.
If they don't win at least, you know, 7-8 games, I think he's out of there. Just as a program in general, they had many good years. They've slacked for a couple years now, and if they don't get it together soon, that could be the end of it for a long, long time. So step it up, West Virginia.
Valid point.
All right, Dan, I don't have any notes on the Pac-12.
That's fine. I got notes.
I figured you've got this one. So now I'll give my thoughts, and then I'm just going to turn it over to you. So in the North, I think people say Oregon's the team to beat. People think Stanford has taken a step back this year. We say this every year, and every year Stanford goes and just shuts down Oregon. And I think this year I'm going to try to be on the right side of history and say that Stanford is going to beat Oregon, but still lose a couple games, and Oregon, with a loss to Stanford, will still win that division. And then in the South, UCLA seems to be the team. My question for you is how much you believe in Arizona State and if they have any potential to be as good as they were for part of last year and maybe upset UCLA.
Yeah, really, really fun year in the Pac-12 this year because it's not just Oregon and Stanford. We got a lot of changes. We got a lot of stuff going on. Okay, first of all, I think this is the year Oregon runs the table and they go to the national title, or they go to the playoff where they lose. But last year when they lost their game to that crazy Stanford team, their quarterback, Marcus Mariota, walked off the field, and his parents were waiting for him after the game, and he showed up to his parents, and he just started crying, just uncontrollably, and he was saying, it was the most upset he's ever been in his whole life about anything he ever said was losing that one game to Stanford. This year, they're winning that game. It's at home, and, you know, keep in mind, Oregon had two losses last year. Well, the first one was Stanford, and then the second one was to Arizona on the road, which they didn't care. It was a weird day in Arizona. It was rainy and thunderstorms. Just a weird, bizarre situation. Oregon's loaded. They're absolutely loaded everywhere. Marcus Mariota is going to put up some crazy numbers. Stanford, I think, is going to be very good. They're going to be a top 10-15 team. But I think Oregon gets it done this year and runs the table, and they go to the Final Four.
Who do you have out of the South?
The South, I have Arizona State. It's not even like a homer pick. I don't even know how I feel about Arizona State. I don't know if I'm a fan or not yet. I'm kind of on the fence. But their quarterback's back, Taylor Kelly. He's actually on the cover of a college football preview magazine, which blows my mind. But they'll score a lot of points. UCLA is going to score a ton of points with Hundley as well. I'm going to give Arizona State a slight edge, but it's going to be a great year in the Pac-12. We got a new start over at USC, which is great for college football. College football is always great when USC is good. So I hope Sarkisian does good there. I hope Chris Peterson does well in Washington. There's a lot of fun stuff going on in the Pac-12, and Oregon, Arizona State should lead the pack, but don't count out some of those other teams. We got a great conference that should have 5 or 6 teams ranked by the end of the year.
Any thoughts on Rich Rod?
Rich Rod's hilarious. I mean, it's the same shit with him every year. They like go like 8-3. They score a bunch of points. Like, you know, I mean, he's okay for being the head coach of University of Arizona. University of Arizona is a basketball school first, football second. And people out here are okay with Rich Rod going 8-3, I'll tell you that much, where they weren't as of, you know, University of Michigan. But I have no problem with Rich Rod. I know that his defenses have always been bad in the bet overs, which I love. And Pac-12 is going to be a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, my thoughts, Washington, I think, is a year or two away. But I think Peterson will have them competing at some point.
Absolutely.
I think USC, I still am not convinced they have a quarterback there. So I think this is not their year, although they're always going to be strong.
Yeah, it's going to take a couple years, but they'll be back.
UCLA is one of those things you'd like to pick against them because everybody's picking them, but it's hard to. They're very talented.
They are.
I think Oregon squeezes it out. My concern with this conference is that they're too good. I think this is the second best conference in America, and there's a chance they could all just beat up on each other. Everyone could have two losses, and they could totally miss a playoff spot.
It's a valid point.
And that's actually what I had predicted originally, but awesome. I'm thinking about changing that, so let me get back to you. Big Ten, we can make this quick. Braxton Miller's injury. Now, I want to throw out a theory to you. First off, I'd like to remind everyone that OSU won a championship in 2002 with quarterback Craig Krenzel. So just because they don't have Braxton Miller doesn't mean they're totally out of this. I think they're going to be right there along with Michigan State competing for the Big Ten East. I think out of the West, I like Wisconsin always. They're a solid team. Nebraska is a tough one. People say that they have a new quarterback, but I thought Taylor Martinez was not very good, so a new quarterback could be a good thing for them. Iowa, I think, could be a surprise team. They ended last season on a high note. So I'm going to go with, Ohio State versus Michigan State. I'm going to give it to Michigan State because I really liked them last year. I think they were the best defense in the country. I think Connor Cook has developed into a solid quarterback. You know, he's not going to be a number one draft pick ever, but he's probably, besides Kirk Cousins, he's probably the best quarterback they've had there in 15 years. I think Wisconsin going with Tanner McAvoy over Joel Stave is a good move, just based on name alone, as we mentioned. But also Joel Stave is a classic Wisconsin 6'3", stiff white guy quarterback, and Tanner McAvoy, I don't know anything about him, but he can't be worse.
Good point.
I don't know. I would say it's a toss-up between Ohio State still and Michigan State.
Yep.
Any thoughts?
I think you're right on the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten is the conference that you know your insides and outs of overall the other conference. That's a quick aside.
We'll get into them a lot more as the season goes through, but I don't feel that they're as wide open as some other conferences, and that's why we can skimp on the preview.
Big Ten is not sending a representative to, you know, the playoff. Michigan State's going to lose a game or two.
Now, this is where we might differ because I think Michigan State has a legitimate shot to beat Oregon week two and finish the season with one loss and maybe sneak into that number four playoff team.
Yeah.
I think it'll be tough, but I think they have a shot.
Yeah, I just don't think they can score enough points. I think there's some game they're going to get tripped up, real low scoring, 17-13 or something, and you know, in the Big Ten, it's just a little bit slow and boring for me. But
so you do think that they have to, a Big Ten has to go undefeated?
100%, yeah.
To make the playoff? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what else? Penn State, that's one of our teams. We'll get into them in future weeks, but I found it interesting that their first game might be delayed because of a volcano.
Yeah, what the hell is that about?
They play in Ireland, you know, against UCF. And there's a volcano, I think, in Iceland that's set to erupt that could cloud the sky with volcanic ash. This actually happened a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago in Europe, and planes can't fly in and out. The teams would get stuck there for, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks, and it would screw up the rest of their games. So
that's so funny.
So Penn State, let me just say quickly, James Franklin, awesome coach. I love what he's doing there. He's got them number four recruiting class for 2015. And I think he's got a strong class coming up in 2016. This is going to be a tough year for them. Next year, they'll be a little bit better. And then 3 years, I think watch out for them to return to national prominence.
Wow. We'll see.
We'll see. Okay. The semi-power conference, the awful athletic conference, I have a surprise pick.
Oh, here. Let's hear it.
But I want to get your thoughts first.
I have no thoughts in the AAC. I just want to hear your info.
Okay. So Cincinnati seems to be the consensus pick to win this bad conference. And then you have other people who say that UCF, although they lost Bortles and Storm Johnson, still have a good defense and might win. I am picking the Houston Cougars to win this conference.
I love it.
By scoring a shitload of points and winning every game 47-40. And I think this is going to be a clusterfuck at the top. I think Houston's going to get a 10-2 record and win this conference. And they're going to
I love it.
They're going to play, you know, Baylor or someone of that variety in a BCS bowl, whatever we call the non-playoff BCS bowls.
I'm on board for this.
So watch out, Dan. For
I'm gonna be a Houston fan the whole year for you. That's it. I'm gonna put some money on them every week. Can't wait to lose. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to make a crazier out there pick for a big conference, but I just don't see it breaking down that way this year. But Houston is my going out on a limb pick, and then UConn. Let's just say them quickly. Casey Cochran, I like him. He's a decent QB. They won their last three games with him last year. I think UConn will not totally suck this year.
Wow.
Five wins.
Five wins? Okay. All right. Who's got more wins, UConn or Syracuse?
Syracuse.
See, all right. You're wrong. UConn. All right. Me and you are going to do a wager. All right. Okay. We need to come up with something for the next podcast. Whoever team has whose least amount of losses has to do something embarrassing.
I like the, Dan, I like the thing where, you know, the mayors do, where it's like you have to eat a brisket sandwich if Texas wins, and have to eat some gumbo if LSU wins. But we should do like the lame Stores Connecticut. It should be like DP Dough versus a Harrison's Bakery.
Okay, something like that. We'll do some sort of food exchange or alcohol exchange or something like that.
We'll work on that for the next one. But I think Syracuse, six wins. Bowl eligible, Meineke Car Care Bowl.
Wrong.
I think UConn just misses out with five.
UConn five wins, Syracuse four.
Dan, do you have any picks for any of the smaller conferences? I think I kind of like Utah State or Nevada to rise up and win the Mountain West.
Those are my two favorite non-power teams in the whole country this whole year. You just beat them.
Good.
Both teams have a ton of guys back. Utah State's loaded. Fifth-year quarterback, Chucky Keaton.
That's his name.
Is the quarterback, so watch out for them. Nevada's returning a ton of players on both sides of the ball. Nevada, people, see, here's something people don't know. They think, University of Nevada. What's in Nevada? Las Vegas. It's probably there where UNLV is. Wrong. Freaking University of Nevada is in parts unknown, like up in the mountains. Like, this isn't, that is a really, really hard home field advantage. Ask Chris Peterson and Boise State about that home field advantage. So watch out for Nevada. Watch out for Utah State. Watch out for ULL and Louisiana Monroe. I don't know anything about them, and it doesn't matter because they're great every year.
Yeah, so I was going to say, so from the Sun Belt, I have no clue. I'm going to just go with a UL dash something.
Always good. They're always, every year, they always win overall, like against the spread, wins and losses. Like, if you bet them to win, to cover every week or just take the points, you're going to make money at the end of the year.
And then my other team, Marshall of Conference USA, I think is going to run the table, go undefeated, and get blown out in the Orange Bowl.
Okay. I'll be on the lookout for that.
All right. And then, so that leaves only the independents, Army, Navy, whatever.
No.
All due respect to our servicemen. Those teams are not going to do well. Navy might be bowl eligible. Army, probably not. BYU will learn a lot in the first couple weeks against they come to UConn and then they play Texas. I actually think they could beat Texas. I think BYU could have a 10-win season and do pretty well.
We'll see.
Any thoughts on Notre Dame?
Yeah, they're overrated as usual. And now they have they have you know, the problem with the academic cheating or suspension. So you got that, and Brian Kelly's a lunatic, and Golson's coming back after his own scandal. Watch for them to win a couple games on NBC and get everyone's hopes up and win 8 games or 9 games, and they'll go to like a half decent bowl game on like January 3rd. But they're the same old Notre Dame. They'll play against, you know, the shit teams and beat them, and they'll lose against the ones they should. So it's a waste of time. I'm not a big Notre Dame guy, if you can't tell.
So what I wrote for Notre Dame, I don't have my notes open, but I'm paraphrasing. I wrote that they were going to be a pretty solid team, but because of a difficult, I think they have one of the top 5 toughest schedules in the country. I thought they were going to finish about 8-4, and they were going to be one of those teams that were much better than their record, and you did not want to play in a bowl game. Right. Now with the losses due to the academic scandal, I have them still at 8-4, but now they'll actually be about that in terms of competence.
Yeah, that sounds about
the
right.
Record will actually reflect how good they are. Yeah, and let's say quarterbacks who take a year off usually don't come back with a lot of firepower.
No.
By the way, I wanted to float this theory. This is going back to the Big Ten. So Braxton Miller out for the year.
Yes.
Ohio State's still going to win 10 games, probably. JT Plus. Barrett is going to probably endear himself to the fans. And then you've got the problem next year where Braxton Miller is still eligible to play, but JT Barrett has now established himself as a starter and a guy who led them to 10 losses.
Yeah.
So Braxton Miller, people say, could go to the pros, but he's not. I don't know how good of a pro quarterback he's going to be.
Awful.
Tell me what you think about this. So Devin Gardner is a senior. Michigan will not have a quarterback next year. Braxton Miller transfers to Michigan and leads the Michigan Wolverines to a win over Ohio State in 2015.
He could. I think he's under the assumption, though, that he'll be the starting quarterback next year at Ohio State.
No.
But, no, you don't think so?
Well, I think JT Barrett's going to do pretty well this season, especially toward the end, and I think somebody's going to have to go. JT Barrett's not going to play all this year and then sit next year.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But that would be a great story, and that would be awesome, and actually make the Big Ten exciting if he did that.
All right, Dan, so that wraps up our season preview. Any other, you know, surprise teams or anything you want to add?
No, I think we covered it pretty much. While the SEC's loaded again, Pac-12 is the second best conference. I love Art Briles. I'm going to name my first son Art. I think I have no choice at this point. Yeah.
The only other thing I wrote is that perhaps if Oregon or Stanford flounder a little bit, I think Oregon State might be poised to sneak up into the top two of that division.
Oregon State's weird. I never know how they're going to do. They seem to be a team that's always very consistent, but they never really are a top 10 team. Hard to say. Really hard to say with Mike Riley.
All right, Dan, I want to introduce a couple new segments. Now, we have about 10 minutes left before we have to wrap this up. Instead of trying to do a separate week one podcast, let's just go over a few of the big games of week one. And then we'll, after teams have played a game and then we've seen, you know, what they can do, then we'll get a little more into the against the line picks.
Okay. Sure.
I just want to get your thoughts on the big games. Alabama is a 26-point favorite against West Virginia. Auburn hosts Arkansas. They're a 20-point favorite. Clemson and Georgia, that's about a touchdown spread. Florida State minus 18 at neutral field against Oklahoma State. And then LSU, Wisconsin, LSU's favored by 5 on a neutral field also. Any really thoughts on any of those?
Yeah, I think they're all very hard. They're really hard. I think my favorite bet in all that would be Auburn minus 20, because I think they're most likely to score 40 or 50 points with these. That's a lot of points for Alabama to lay. Then again, I don't see West Virginia scoring at all. This happens every year. This is the Alabama season opener. We're going to try to not give up a touchdown the whole
year.
So
we've been through this the last, you know, last year on the podcast and then several other years before.
Yes.
You just, number one rule of take the points is you do not bet against Alabama.
No.
So
never.
I like Alabama minus 26. I think that's a little more. I was hoping it'd be more like 21, but
I would take Auburn. I would take all Alabama. I would take the points with Clemson. I would lay the points with. Oh God, that Florida State game is so hard.
I would stay away from that one until we see how really Oklahoma tough. State and Florida State both respond.
And I would definitely lay the points with LSU. They just have athletes to wear people down.
Now, here's an interesting one. Ole Miss on Thursday night plays Boise. Boise's new quarterback backed up Joe Southwick. Now, if you cannot beat out Joe Southwick in a competition,
that's not good.
I will not be taking your side.
No, as you shouldn't.
So I like Ole Miss to win that one by at least a couple touchdowns.
I agree. Ole Miss is underrated.
And then South Carolina, 10.5-point favorite over A&M. That's your Thursday night opening game of the season.
That's really hard, too. That is a game where it's the defense of South Carolina against a new quarterback, and that could go both ways. I mean, that could either be a game where the offense of A&M keeps it close, or they might win, or South Carolina just has like pick sixes and fumbles and they're just blowing them out. So I've seen that go both ways.
Okay. And then you've got any thoughts on LSU Wisconsin?
I like LSU. I think they have really good athletes that can wear down people, and LSU is a very solid team. Les Miles is an underrated coach, very underrated.
Okay, and then I just wrote down a couple other compelling lines that aren't, I wouldn't call these big games, but the aforementioned Houston Cougars are -11.5 at home against Texas San Antonio.
Now
you like Texas San Antonio.
Yes, we actually talked about them. The head coach, you may remember, is Larry Coker, the old Miami coach, and he's been known to have a whole bunch of unders. I guess in his Miami regime, under came in like 65% of the time when he was at Miami, and says he's been at Texas San Antonio, same thing. So I don't know. If you're looking for some last-second action, you want to get that Texas San Antonio underplay in. Apparently, it's
it's 54.5 is the over under.
Apparently, we're going under.
I like Houston though at -11.5. Okay, I want to introduce two new segments to take the points. One is the Dark Horse Pick of the Week, a game that people aren't really thinking about, maybe. I'll throw a few out there, and then in future weeks, maybe we can put a little more thought into it. But let me know if you like any of these. You got your famous UL-M. They are a 2.5-point underdog to Wake Forest somehow.
Yeah, they're going
to
beat them. Go ahead and take them.
Western Michigan is a 12-point underdog against Purdue, who is terrible.
Nope. Next.
And then you've got Utah State against Tennessee with 6.5 points.
Yeah, that is a wrong spread. The first of all,
pick 'em.
At very most, Tennessee should be a 3-point favorite to be at home. But Utah State's a better team, and they're going to beat them outright in that stadium. That's my favorite wager of Week One in NFL or college, and love Utah State to win outright. Take the 6.5 and just have yourself a nice, relaxing day. And keep in mind, what's great about the Utah State game is that, next weekend we have the first College Saturday. For some reason, well, it's because there's no football, there's two games on Sunday. One is Utah State, Tennessee. The other one, SMU Baylor. Good job, college football. You nailed that back-to-back slate on Sunday.
All right, Dan. And so the second pick that I would like to introduce is the Doris Burke Memorial 11:45 a.m. ESPNU Game of the Week.
No!
This week I nominate Ohio State -14 over Navy. God. I think they're being penalized too much for losing Braxton Miller, and they're still a good team, and they're going to run it up on Navy. They're going to beat them by 30.
Here's what all listeners should know is that I have two times every week that I cannot win. One is when Doris Burke is involved with the noon game on Saturday, and the second is when Rod fucking Gilmore is involved on Friday night. I'm not lying. There was a streak last year, it was 2 years ago, I lost like 12 Friday night games in a row. Rod Gilmore. So now I figured out that if I turn the sound off and I listen to music, I got a better shot. But as soon as I hear it, but if I hear his voice, I might as well just turn it off and go to bed because it's over.
That's just good science.
Although, so first of all, I'd like to say, Z, that this is great work on your part, and my favorite thing we've done with the podcast yet is this Doris Burke Award.
Yeah, I see. It's not really a dark horse pick because I do like the favorite in that game, but it's one of those games that you would totally overlook. And in this, so I'm going to say this game could be assigned to anyone playing at any time, but this game does happen to be on ESPN at noon Eastern.
I'm taking Ohio State minus the 14. I'm probably going to lose because it's Doris Burke. Just let you know.
We laugh, but I do love when there is the 11:45 a.m. game. That's when you know you've not scheduled appropriately, when you actually are bumped before noon.
Awful.
It's one thing when you're noon. Like, you can't help when you're Ohio State and you have to play the game at Illinois. But when you schedule Navy, or when you schedule, say, Appalachian State, and you get bumped to the 11:45 a.m. spot, you need to talk to your scheduler and have them fix that for next year.
11:45 is too early. Dude, that's an 8:45 start for me over here. That's too early.
All right, Dan, we've got 2 minutes left. What else would you like to add about this upcoming season, or anything non-football related?
I think everything in terms of college football we talked about. I think my recap, you know, I got Alabama, Auburn, Florida State, and Oregon in the Final Four. We'll see how that plays out. Non-football, nothing. It was a great sports year. I think people need to realize how great of a sports year 2014 has been. You had a fantastic Super Bowl, in theory, it was supposed to be a great Super Bowl.
Right.
You had a great national title game. I had UConn win the national title. You had the Winter Olympics, World Cup, the San Antonio Spurs winning it, the whole King James back to Cleveland story. We got baseball. It's been a great 2014, and as a sports fan, I've been very spoiled because it has been a slow time. It was great to have the World Cup. The World Cup, ate up a good 6-8 weeks of the summer. They're normally pretty boring. So,
remind me on one of our future podcasts, maybe next week, to ask you about. As I don't watch baseball, I actually watched part of the Red Sox game and realized I only know two of their starting nine people, which I'm actually very proud of because I hate baseball.
Good for you.
But I want to get your take on the new commissioner and this idea that they need to appeal to young millennials by speeding up the game. But we'll save that for next time.
Okay.
Dan, this is one of the best opening week or opening 2 weeks of college football games I've ever seen.
This is loaded. We're so lucky and spoiled.
LSU-Wisconsin is a huge game. Clemson-Georgia is amazing. Even the Auburn and Alabama games, while they might not be that competitive, those are going to be great to watch.
Florida State-Oklahoma State, right off the bat.
Yeah. This is exceptional.
It's great. We're so lucky as sports fans. College football treats us well. Got the SEC Network this year, Fox Sports 1, College Sports Network, CBS. There's a handful of ESPN channels. It's great. You sit at home on a Saturday, you watch college football. There's 12 games on at once. I'm betting 7 of them. I got nachos. It's just a lot of fun.
Good. All right, let me end with a programming note. So, CT.com, where we formerly hosted the podcast, is no more. We are now an independent venture. We are takethepoints.net. So go there or Google Take the Points column or podcast, and you should be able to find it. Podcast will be once a week. Normal ones will probably be about 30, 40 minutes, so a little shorter than this. I'm still going to do my column, my weekly picks column. I've got my season previews, which are a little bit thrown together, but those will be up online sometime this week. So go there, follow Dan and I on Twitter. We have a Take the Points Twitter, but I don't think I'm going to use that. So just find me and Dan. We hope to have bigger and better things from Take the Points this year, and we're going to discuss some more of those things and see exactly how it unfolds, but it should be a good year, and everything you need to know will be at takethepoints.net. So, and a theme song by DJ Tig, and I don't know if we'll have the new one in time for this first podcast, but eventually we'll have a new theme song for this year, and that's going to be good too.
It'll be very soon. He's moving into a new house, so his equipment's currently unplugged, but as I showed you some photos from last weekend, we got serious. There's some videos I need to send you too. it got out of control. It was it turned into two people working on music. Next thing you know, it's four people getting sandwiches and beers, and then I don't know. I got home at 3 a.m. That's all I can say. I got there at 1 p.m. It got a little bit out of control. Good times, though.
Already we're getting bigger and better than last year. Oh, and guests. We will have guests this year.
Yes,
as soon
we will.
As I figure out how to work that technologically speaking.
Yes. We're going to have Mike Roberts and Ryan Spillett.
Yeah. And I think some point this year we're going to get our first celebrity guest. I'm calling that right now. I don't know who, but we'll get Johnny Manziel. No, Johnny Manziel will never do this, but we'll get Craig Krenzel on the horn.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
So look forward to that.
J.B. Riefsnyder.
Riefsnyder, Jake Voskel, J.B. Riefsnyder.
Jake Voskel is a celebrity. He needs to be on the podcast.
All right, so look forward to that. It's going to be a good year and a good season. That's it. Goodbye, everyone.
Take care. Take the point.